Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Can you believe there was a time in football history when pass interference was not a foul? Well, Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com joins us today to talk about one of his tidbits that talks about this facet of the penalty and its evolution in football history. Tim comes up in just a moment to tell us all about it.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday where we get to visit with our friend Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Good to see you and hear from you. Oh, wait, I'm getting a little interference. Yes. No, it wasn't.
Uh-oh, boy. I didn't think you'd
okay,
have...
Okay, I'll stop doing that.
I didn't have a segue into this one, but folks, he did it again. His tidbit was titled, Back in September, Changes in Pass Interference Penalties, and that's why Tim was really stretching it out there to get the interference for his customary intro into his tidbit. So Tim, you know, pass interference has really been a big play, for decades. I think in our generations, that's probably the biggest penalty where people gain the most yardage in our era. And, people are almost anticipating every time a long pass is being thrown, they're hoping for one of two things. Either there's, if you're on offense, pass interference on a defense, or the guy catches the ball. So what can you tell us about the pass interference back in this era that you're talking about?
Yeah. So, one of the most interesting things about pass interference is that, the forward pass was legalized in 1906. But the first 2 years, they did not have a pass interference penalty, so they didn't foresee the need to have a penalty. And part of it is, you got to go back to, okay, what were they thinking when they introduced and legalized pass interference? They were not thinking about the downfield passing game that we have today. They were thinking about, a short toss to somebody who's ahead of you. An option quarterback who's, flicking it to the guy behind him. They were thinking the forward pass would be like that. Just little dumps, basketball set shots to somebody. Initially, the ineligible receivers were not limited in terms of where they could go. They could go downfield. They could block, they could block defenders. And so some of the initial pass plays were basically guys who, the offensive line would let everybody go, and then kind of the receiver would kind of get in the middle and, be guarded by his teammates. And then they kind of took the ball into the middle of that circle, and then he'd catch it and they'd block for him. So the defensive players were coming in there, flying in, trying to break it apart. Break it up because there wasn't any defensive pass interference, and the offensive guys were blocking like they would because there was an offensive pass interference. So, it took them 2 years, but then they figured out, okay, well, maybe we shouldn't allow this, to be the case. And while the linemen still were able to go downfield, that didn't change. I'm blanking out, but I'd say it started changing in the 30s. So, there was a long time where linemen could be downfield. And so in 1908, they said, okay, pass interference was like a 15-yard penalty on the offense and a 5-yard penalty on the defense. And I forget exactly why they distinguished the two. You know, maybe it's just because, you know, the offense was the one who's throwing the ball, and so they have more control. But then in 1910, then it, pass interference became a loss of a down for the offense and a 10-yard penalty on the D. So, you know, that became the norm. And, you know, one of the things that I always find interesting is there are elements of the game and elements of, you know, how players make decisions and things that are considered unsportsmanlike in an earlier era, but then now we treat it as like, well, that's smart play. And so one of those was, as you know, when there was a loss of down for the, or a 10-yard penalty on the defense, they kind of figured, okay, hey, if I'm getting beat on a pass, I'm just tackle a guy. Yeah, I'm just going to tackle the receiver. And because I'd rather accept a 10-yard penalty than allow a touch pass. And so, I mean, we do that today, right? I mean, a smart right. D-back is going to do that. But at the time, you know, once they started doing that, I mean, it took them a few years to do that. But once they started doing that, then that was viewed as really unsportsmanlike. You know, you're cheating, or you're, you know, it was outside the spirit of the rules. So in 1916, you know, the colleges increased the penalty to 15 yards from 10. And then in 1917, they made it a spot. So, you know, you tackle somebody 35 yards downfield, or you interfere 35 yards downfield, then that's where the ball spotted. And so that stayed the case for a long time. But then they started having concerns, and this is another kind of recurring theme in football, is, you know, the idea that for really long penalties or severe penalties or questionable penalties, the officials don't want to make those calls. So they swallow their flags. And so on these long pass interference penalties, when it's a spot foul, people felt like the referees swallowed the flags. And so they finally said, no, you know, we got to get rid of that situation. And so in 1984, then the colleges went to a 15-yard penalty, whereas the pros retained, you know, it's still a spot foul, you know, in the pros. So, I'll just interject by saying this whole issue of the the long penalty, or the, doesn't even have to be a long penalty, but one that's, you know, feels like it has an impact on the game. That was one of the reasons why they got rid of, you know, the penalty for the, what now is being called the tush push, mm-hmm. you know, that aiding the runner and helping the runner. That was one of the reasons they got rid of that, was because it was a difficult, you know, sometimes they called it, sometimes they didn't. It's a judgment call. And obviously it's, you know, it's either somebody's going for a first down or somebody's going for a touchdown. So it had a big impact. And so, and, you know, they just felt like, you know, the referees or officials were reluctant to call it. So they basically took that out of the game, you know, and then later, you know, added it back in. But it's just, you know, those things are kind of interesting to me. So both the idea of people like you, referees, who swallow their whistles or their flags when, you know, on a long, you know, longer, you know, important penalty situation. So just that idea. And then, you know, the change in perception from unsportsmanlike kind of behavior to, hey, that's a smart play. You know, hey, the guy was, you know, tackle a receiver, do whatever you got to do. Don't let him get the long one.
Yeah. So, it's interesting when you're talking early in this conversation and you were telling, you know, how the evolution of the forward pass in the first couple of years of bringing this rule up about, and you sit there and you got to think back, you know, with these folks, these rules makers, they had no idea, like you said, what the forward pass was going to end up being. And they had no idea what people were going to try to do to gain an advantage. And so that's why you see these changes and everything. So it's kind of fun to go back and try to look at it from their perspective. And I think you do that in a lot of your articles that you put on here, and explaining the rules the way you do. And it's really an interesting endeavor to go back and think that way. You know, God, these guys didn't even think the ball is going to go downfield. So why would anybody interfere with them? Yeah. You're just playing football. You know?
Yeah, and so it's funny. It's an article I've been making notes on for 2 years probably, but it's basically the gist of it is, what were people thinking, and in 1906. So if you were a coach, and speculating on how the forward pass is going to work, both offense and defense, how did you prepare? Because you hadn't seen it yet, it hadn't happened, right? And so there's a lot of really interesting newspaper articles of all these experts, respected people say, oh, here's the way it's going to work. Most of them are wrong. their conception of what a forward pass was going to be and how it would change the game was just off. And most people, thought that the onside kick from scrimmage was going to have much more, substantial effect. And in fact, for the first couple of years, it probably did. But the other thing about rules like this is it's a reminder that when you're playing a game, it doesn't matter if it's Monopoly or Parcheesi or hopscotch or whatever, but football, there's lots of rules and every one of them is arbitrary. you could change that rule tomorrow, and it's like the tush push. It's a big controversy. But you could change it tomorrow. And there's nothing sacred about it. There's nothing preordained. It's just that's what people decided to make the rules. And so change whenever and however you want. And for penalties as well, it's what's a penalty and what's the relative punishment that should be tied to each penalty? All arbitrary, right?
I tell people all the time, it's the most complicated athletic event in the world. It's got the most complicated rules, let's say that, and the most complicated of those rules of the game are the plays that only happen once in a while, the kicking game. That's where all the crazy stuff happens. It's the offensive defense, that's piece of cake. It's you get in the kicking game rules, it's bar the doors, because it's some craziness is going to happen, and we see it all the time. And so it's interesting. All right. Well, Tim, you have some great articles, just like this each and every day that talk about an aspect of football mainly from antiquity and, explaining how it got to the point of where it is today, or maybe an advertisement or piece of equipment. How can other people share and read your tidbits? Maybe you could give them some information.
So easiest thing is just go to www.footballarchaeology.com. You can subscribe there and get an email every night at 7 o'clock Eastern. And with that day's story, if you don't want the emails, you can follow me on Twitter or Threads, because I posted both those, or, set up a Substack account and, they've got a reader. And so you'll get, whichever Substacks you apply to or follow, you'll get those coming through your feed, as well as the ability to browse for others. So, that's a great way to do it too. So whichever one works for you, have at it.
All right. Well, Tim Brown, footballarchaeology.com. Your link is in our show notes. Listeners, you can go there and look at Tim's stuff and enjoy his work. And we will talk to you again next Tuesday. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. we invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.